Thanks, Carly. And thank you for inviting me to speak at this year's WISE Awards. Unusually, I managed to take an opportunity on this visit to spend a few days down here ahead of today, which has been wonderful. And I'd just like to thank Mark Yeoman for arranging the wonderful weather whilst ignoring what's going on outside the window. It's been an absolute delight. Some of you who were here last year will remember me saying that when I came to Newquay in 2010 to present these awards, that this is in so many ways the best part of my job. I'm very pleased to be here again this year to celebrate this year's winners. It'd perhaps be helpful if I just say a few words about myself before I start. As you just heard, very well pronounced by Carleen, my name is Wendy Violentano. And for the last few years, I've been head of ESF division, based in the Department of Work and Pensions, some miles away up in Sheffield. I'm responsible for managing and accounting for ESF money across England. I also advise ministers on ESF policy and represent the UK on the EU ESF committee. In fact, immediately after this, I'm flying to London to get on Eurostar to go to Brussels. So that's just life. If anyone would like to know any more about my role, or indeed anything I'm going to say in the next few minutes, then please catch me during the coffee break. I'll be happy to talk to you. So back to today. As Carolyn's already said, today is the 9th of May, and it's a very special day when the European Union celebrates the anniversary of its creation. So it's fitting we should be here today to celebrate your achievements as well, and all those achievements that have been supported by this innovative partnership down here in Cornwall. Only part of my job, involves monitoring performance of ESF in England, and I'd like to share just a few numbers with you. I don't want to bore you with numbers, but they really tell a story about the work that's gone on here in Cornwall. Performance in Priority 4 of the programme, which is tackling barriers to employment, in Cornwall, this is very strong in terms of the numbers delivered. Even though the second half of the programme has still to start in earnest and it's yet to be contracted, all the ESF outputs for Cornwall have been exceeded. So far, the programme for 2007-13 has helped over 4,600 people into employment in this region. Your target for the entire programme is 5,900, so you can see that you're well on track. All this means that ESF convergence will support more people into employment than originally thought, which is a credit to the co-financing organisations and their providers. Excellent progress has also been made in the very important area of moving young people NEET into employment, education and training. And almost three times the programme target has been met, which is an incredible achievement. For those of you perhaps more interested in the technical matters of ESF, which I could talk to you about for the next week and a half, but I won't, Cornwall's already exceeded its N+2 target for 2011. That is the Commission, the European Commission's yearly spend target. And you've exceeded that by almost £15 million. And you've made a very good start towards 2012 targets, actually. Unusually, being ahead on your spend is a good thing in EU land. It's not always the case everywhere. On to priority 5, which is improving skills. Progress here, it's fair to say, has been more challenging, although it is now showing some significant improvement. Total participant numbers in this priority have exceeded the challenging programme target of 50,000, and that was a challenging target. Basic skills delivery continues to improve, and the Skills Funding Agency is committed to working with delivery partners to ensure provision is properly targeted at those most disadvantaged in the workforce, which is very important. At our national monitoring committees, I see all the figures, all the facts, all the details, and that's great. But events like today bring those figures to life. ESF isn't about the statistics. It's about real people. It's about you. We can't achieve any of this good work in Cornwall without Convergence ESF, and it's helping everyone in this area to fulfil their potential. and to improve Cornwall's economy relative to other areas in England. Nor can we achieve any of this without the collaboration and partnership of key players in Cornwall. People like Carolyn Webster from Job Centre Plus, Mark Williams from the Skills Funding Agency, Sue Brownlow and Nigel Hewitt from Higher Education. Added to that, you're able to communicate the Convergence Programme through the Partnership Office, and this makes what you do very visible nationally, very visible, believe me. And at this point, I just want to thank Carleen and Mark Yeoman and their team in the Convergence Partnership Office for everything they do. They're really the unsung heroes of the success of ESF down here in Cornwall, so thank you for that. So on to ESF in Cornwall and what it's doing. Your stories down here really bring to life some of our communications nationally, our website, our e-zine, and the mid-programme conference we held back in October when it was raining even harder than this, actually, up at Aston Villa's football ground. So it's not all bad. Over the last few months, we've featured a wide variety of Cornwall's successes in our publications. We've featured Jane Padgham, who signed up for Response to Redundancy, run by Truro and Penwith College. She's since started her own catering business. We've featured the Green Foundation programme of the Eden Project and how participants are gaining a competitive edge there in the transition to a low-carbon economy. The low-carbon economy is a very important thematic strand within ESF across Europe. In the last edition of our e-zine, we featured Diana Williams and Katie Vokes, who with the help of Business Forward, Lantra and Business Information Point, are taking part in ESF-funded land-based apprenticeships. Again, another very important theme and another very important area that we're supporting with ESF down here. Some of you may have had the pleasure of attending our mid-programme conference on that rainy day and heard Sharon Hindley from Young Mums Will Achieve speak about mainstreaming equal opportunities. Sharon absolutely inspired the conference with the work her project does to make life a little easier for teenage mums and to help those young mums achieve their goals. The success of the project was such that it led them to winning the 2010 ESF National Equal Opportunities Award. Again, big news story and something we use nationally. So I just want to thank everyone for everything you've done so far. But what about the future? Later on this year, the European Commission, all the member states, and the European Parliament will begin negotiations on the next round of ESF, which will run from 2014 to 2020. We expect the Commission to publish proposals on the EU budget in June this year, and this will be followed by proposals on the new draft regulations. The atmosphere at these negotiations, as you would probably expect, will be one of financial constraint across the EU. This reflects the difficult decisions that national governments are having to take to bring their public spending under control. Last December, leaders of France, Germany, Netherlands and Finland joined David Cameron in calling for the overall EU budget to rise by no more than the rate of inflation. The challenge for the EU and for everyone across the EU will not be to spend more, but to spend better. At a time of budgetary constraint, it is essential more than ever that we use every euro of ESF wisely and as effectively as possible. Although at this stage I can't say anything concrete in advance of the Commission proposals later this year, we fully expect ESF to support the new Europe 2020 strategy for smart, sustainable and inclusive growth. Well, what does that mean? There are three elements to Europe 2020 which are particularly relevant to ESF. Most importantly, increasing the employment rate to 75%. In addition, reducing early school leaving, i.e. reducing the number of NEETs, and helping more people out of poverty. What will this mean for Cornwall? Whatever Cornwall's status is after 2013, whether or not it's in transition from convergence to the wider competitiveness element of ESF, there will almost certainly be a mixture of continuity and of change. With a smaller budget, it's important that we focus funding on those in greatest need and on where it can add most value to national and local action. Europe 2020 and government policy suggest an even stronger focus on helping the disadvantaged improve their skills and get back to work, especially those furthest from the labour market and young people who are neat. Your priority four is already tackling this agenda. The forthcoming DWP ESF round will reinforce this by targeting families with multiple problems. You have an excellent base on which to build here. On the other hand, I would foresee a smaller share of funding in priority five activity for workforce skills. Currently, the balance of funding in your programme is 38% for priority four and 60% for priority five. Just as a comparison, in the rest of England, the position is almost reversed at 63% to 34%. Priority five and the previous Objective One programme have done great work building Cornwall's skills and higher education base. But we now need to plan for a future where ESF will play less of a role in these areas. This means that right now we have to ensure that the lessons of ESF and the projects that ESF has kickstarted are mainstreamed and that providers can find ways of sustaining successful initiatives in these areas without ESF support. I recognise this is going to be a huge challenge. Other areas have met this challenge. Merseyside and South Yorkshire have successfully gone through a similar transition, and I'd like to think we'll be there to help you to learn the lessons that we've heard from them. But for now, back to today. Before I present the first of today's awards, I'd like to thank the people here who have made all this possible, the people who've organised today for choosing such an inspiring venue and a little bit of awesome activity outside the window there, making sure everything here runs smoothly this morning. The ESF project managers and trainers, for your wonderful commitment in organising and delivering learning activities. And those of you who've nominated ESF projects or participants for these awards. Without those nominations, we wouldn't actually be here having this event. During my visits to European Social Fund projects in Cornwall and elsewhere, I've seen examples of how ESF is changing people's lives for the better. For many people, it represents a significant point in their lives. It's where self-confidence comes by. It's where new opportunities begin to open up. And it can quite simply be when life changes. The award winners we're going to meet today are truly exceptional. And I hope that many more people will be inspired to take up ESF opportunities after hearing about their stories. Through commitment, dedication and perseverance, they've been able to achieve against all the odds, boosting their confidence and actually encouraging others to carry on as well. Your achievements deserve the recognition that these awards provide, and my serious congratulations, sincerest congratulations go out to all of today's winners. Thank you.